Well, I'd like to tell you a little about my history. When I was 22 years old, I was already married. I already had two kids. So you could say I made wise decisions early off in life. As a young family, I was the sole provider. And I remember going shopping. And that was a little stressful because, you're trying to pinch every penny. And so we would often go in the aisle. Now, you probably don't remember this unless you're a little older, but do you remember the generic brand? It just, like, white label, say beans. That was it. Like, that's all you got. But if it was a cereal, it might be like Colonel Crunch. You know, so you would get it home, you pour it in your bowl, you pour milk on it, and you take a bite, and you'd realize it only looks like Captain Crunch. It's absolutely not Captain Crunch. And so we would pinch pennies with coupons. Remember the old days where you'd give all the coupons and then you'd be in front of somebody or behind somebody and it would just drive you crazy because of all the coupons, and if something wasn't 35% off, they'd have to go check. And anyway, all that to say this, I didn't have a lot of money. And so I remember when I was first a Christian, I wanted to help people. And I remember one time this family came to our church, and after the service, we kind of got talking to them, and I'd never really seen them before. And they began to tell me about their tales of woe and their problems. Oh, they were so hungry and they had no food. And I thought, well, I could probably buy you a little food. And I was thinking, like when I go shopping, be super cheap, but just maybe a little food. And so after the service, we went shopping, and they were going around the cart, and they would put things, like our meat was hamburger. That was the highest level of meat. They put steak in there, and they got the name brands, and their cart got fuller and fuller and fuller, and I felt more and more panicked as I realized how little I was going to have in my bank account at the end of the shopping trip. And as we went and checked out, I just felt horrible. And I left, I went home, and I really had to pinch pennies and squeak by to make ends meet until the next pay period that week. And I went to church the next Sunday, and I was telling somebody about this, and they said, oh my gosh, that family does this. They'll go to a church for 3 weeks, they'll get somebody to buy them groceries, and they'll go to the next church. I totally got scammed. And I learned something that day. I learned, there's several lessons, but one is, I can trust my intuition. I felt something was wrong, but I didn't act on it. I just kind of sat in. I felt so icky, so it felt so uncomfortable to me, and I didn't realize I could say no. After that, I learned I can actually say no, even in the middle. Even if I said, I'll buy you groceries, I could say, all right, that's it, cut it, that's enough. I also learned that not everybody is deserving of help. There's times maybe when somebody is in need, but maybe it's not my role to help them. And I also learned maybe I should have been a little more thoughtful when I got into this to begin with. Good intentions don't always end up truly helping somebody. And so I think those kinds of scenarios are something maybe many of us have faced in different ways. Maybe it's relational issues we've had. Maybe we've struggled with a friendship. Maybe it seems one-sided. Or in a marriage, it seems like we're constantly giving. Maybe we have somebody who has a struggle in our family, and we seem to be giving so much, but we feel depleted, like we don't have anything left for ourselves. When then the reality is something seems wrong with all of those things. And boundaries is the series we're talking about right now. And boundaries are not simple things. I have been teaching boundaries for years, and I'm constantly aware in my own life of new circumstances, new challenges, new things I feel pulled to do, but maybe I need to be careful and think about doing it before I just jump in. Every situation is different. When I was a pastor many years ago, I had so many boundary-related issues come to my attention. Things like when somebody co-signed for somebody else's loan and then they were mad when they weren't paying it off, or somebody was dating for a month and all of a sudden they had the guy's name tattooed on their shoulder, and then 6 months later they had to get a bigger, different tattoo in the same area. So those are all boundary-related issues. And I think one of the things about boundaries, as important as they are, they can teach us very important things in our life. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, is how we can learn from boundaries. We're going to get some lessons out of the scriptures this morning. So I want you to pull out your notes. And if you're following online, you can download those notes. But we're going to jump in with the first important lesson. Good boundaries teach me, number one, they teach me caring versus carrying. Caring versus carrying. I know last week Pastor Chris brought up Galatians 6, and in 6:2 it talks about how we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. But in that very same chapter, just a couple verses later, it says we're all supposed to carry our own burdens. So it seems kind of contradictory. But if you look at the two words, you will realize that the first word, burden, is a very heavy weight, something that's catastrophic that happens. And those things happen in our lives. But the second word, burden, is kind of the everyday things, or sometimes the problems that we create for ourselves. And so there's a difference between the kinds of burdens we help people with. And so we want to be sure that in our desire, maybe to live the good Christian life, or be a good neighbor, or be a good parent, or whatever it is, we want to be sure that we're carrying, but no, we're not carrying somebody else's burden that they're supposed to be carrying themselves. In Proverbs 19:3, it says this: a person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. Basically, what that says is we all have problems that we've created, and if we have some sort of a consequence because of that problem, we should take it, we should own it. Don't give that problem, the blame for that problem, to somebody else, especially God. How many people have ever had a problem in their life of their own creation, and that you hear them blaming God for everything in their life, right? I think if we realize how often the things we do affect others, I think we'd be blown away. We think, somebody at work has a problem. They have horrible boundaries. They have problems they bring into our life. Or our spouse has problems they bring into our life. Or my child has problems they bring into our life. You have problems that people bring into your life, but sometimes you bring the problems. And if you say, I'm not the one I was in, all the other scenarios I was tracking, but not that one, you might fit into that verse we just read. There's a show, X-Files. It was like 20 years ago it was on. Anybody remember X-Files? Do, 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 do. So there's these two FBI agents, Mulder and Scully, and they would investigate these paranormal type things, supernatural things. And in one episode, they found a genie. I don't know what it was, a djinn, or they called it something, but it was a genie that was granting wishes. And it was causing trouble for the people that were trying to get the wishes out of the genie. And you can imagine, typical kinds of wishes, right? So Mulder gets a hold of the genie, and he decides, because he's a more virtuous person, he says he's going to do a good wish. And so he wishes for world peace. And he thinks, that's what every Miss America wants, right? So this is totally in line with the best possible desires. And so after wishing it, he gets his wish granted. And he's feeling pretty good about himself. He goes outside, and every single person on the planet is gone. He's the only one left. That, friends, is what would take, it would take that in order for us to have world peace. Because we all bring a little bit of problems into our circles. Maybe as a parent, we blow up. We don't intend it, but we do. Or maybe as a spouse, we blow it. Or as an employee, or as a parent. Whatever it is, we have a lot of issues that we bring into our own lives. And sometimes we bear the consequences for those issues. We have to understand where responsibility lies if we're going to care and not carry somebody else's burden. Which takes us to the next level. Let's read Proverbs 9:8, see what it has to say. So don't bother correcting mockers, they will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Anybody ever tried to help somebody and then regret it soon after? Yeah. I've had people help me and made them regret helping me, right? I think we've all done it. But this is a great example of how we can make sure we're caring for somebody versus carrying. Because there are times when somebody just doesn't want our advice. Their lives may be coming apart, and we may care deeply for them and not want their lives to come apart. But we can't involve ourselves more in their lives than they want us to. we can't care more about their problems than they care about their own. If somebody has a victim mentality, if somebody believes that all the problems that they're experiencing are everybody else, there's not a lot you can do to fix that problem, because you have to change the world in order for them to be okay and right. And they will have to come to the point, at some point, they'll have to come to the point and realize, I made this mess. And when that happens, sometimes that's the most caring thing you can do for somebody, is allow them to experience the consequences of their own actions, and all of a sudden that becomes the teacher that motivates them to want to change. I don't want this anymore. I want a different life. And so understand, caring is one thing. Caring is one step too far beyond the boundary. Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians. Before I show you the verse, I want to kind of set it up. In 2 Thessalonians, it was a church that was just starting, and they were really excited. They had been told about the coming of Jesus. Jesus was going to come to the earth. He was going to set everything right. And so some of the people who wanted their problem solved didn't want to wait for Jesus. They said, one of my problems is my job. So they quit. And then as they quit, they started hanging around, and they didn't have much to do, so they started creating problems for other people. And that's where we pick up this instruction from Paul. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. He is telling them, and I'm telling you, Paul cared about these people. He cared deeply, but he would not allow them to carry the burdens these people were supposed to carry for themselves, because they weren't helping, they weren't contributing. And it's tough to think about this sometimes, but sometimes when someone has a problem and you try and help that problem, it actually creates a ripple effect of bigger problems. The help you're giving actually creates more problems. So sometimes it's wise to step back and allow God to speak to somebody who deeply cares about them and experience maybe some pain and suffering so that they would be willing to accept help to get their lives. And I agree, sometimes people maybe going through addictions or people who have had a very hard childhood and have actually been victimized, sometimes they need more help than the average person. But they can't get help until they're ready to accept it themselves. So we have to make sure we're not carrying people's load. Which brings us to point number two, and this gets a little harder, next level. Good boundaries teach me faith versus fear. Faith versus fear, because I think when it comes to setting a boundary, this is what can happen. We see down the road, we kind of know there's a problem here, and we begin to set a boundary with somebody, and we kind of know what's going to happen next. And so we begin to fear, I might lose this relationship. Or we might fear, like, I might get into conflict with this person. I might be misunderstood. My image might be tarnished somehow if I don't intervene, because this reflects on me badly. We begin to have all these fears that begin to drive us, and fear then can turn into anxiety. And we begin to carry anxiety inside of our hearts, and we begin to worry, and anxiety causes our heart to race. It causes us to sweat. It causes us to have high blood pressure. It causes actually physical illness in us because we're carrying something we were never designed to carry. We're fearing the outcome if I do something that's healthy. And so God wants to say, hey, at some point we have to step back and begin to operate in faith and trust. Because if there's something that's right for us to do, if there's a boundary that we're supposed to take, then it stands to reason that God knows about that. And he's also involved in this situation, both in my life and the other person's. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, when he's speaking to the crowds about how they tend to worry about things in the future. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? You see, when we worry, we begin to take actions that are not in our best interest, and sometimes not in the best interest of other people. You've got to start with the foundation of understanding God deeply cares about you. He cares way more than the birds who are fed. He cares. He wants to take care of your needs, and he wants to take care of other people's needs as well. It doesn't escape him that they're having problems. And so we need to understand that at a foundation, that I don't need to worry about outcomes because I can trust that God already is ahead of this and actually cares about them. Maybe even has a plan for him. Isn't that a concept, that God has a plan for somebody else, right? So we can't what if ourselves to death. What if? What if I do this? Then this might happen. What if I do this? We've got to get that out of our minds. God, what do you want me to do? And Lord, help me. Help me to begin to trust. This can be hard. It's easy to say. I remember there's a woman that I had talked to, and sadly, she had a daughter who had attempted to end her life. And she had gone through all the things you have to do. You have to prepare your house. You have to make your house, you know, nothing that could be used to injure them. And just, it got to a point where she was so hypervigilant about everything. She hardly could sleep. She was always worried, always looking. And it was just bad. So she went to a counselor and was beginning to process this with a counselor. You know, what should I do? And she was what-ifing it, and for good reason. And the counselor said, you can't live like this. It's not good for you. But what if the worst happens? And the counselor said, if that happens, I will walk you through that as well. The consequences sometimes are so significant, but we can't make somebody else something we want them to be. We can pray for them. We can care about them. But we've got to allow God to work in their life. And even if we don't understand what he's doing, we have got to trust him and not live based on fear. And sometimes it takes us going back around and back around and back around and going, bringing it back to God and saying, help me with this, help me with this. Or maybe even eliciting other people in your life, like a counselor. But we can trust God with the outcome if we set a boundary. Amen? And this is the last point, and this may seem like a little odd point, but this is probably the most important of all. Good boundaries teach me law versus liberty. Law versus liberty. Because I think sometimes when we operating under the impression that if I do something in my life, I kind of have an expectation that you'll respond in kind. I'm kind to you, you'll be kind back to me. If I apologize for that last fight that we had, you'll naturally apologize back to me. Right? You ever had that happen? You're expecting the apology, so you go, I'll go first. And then they say, thank you for apologizing. And you wait, and nothing comes, right? We do the right thing no matter what. Because if we don't, if we have an expectation, we begin to live under the law. Or if I have to do this in order to be approved by that person or accepted by that person, we begin to live under the law. And that doesn't feel good. It feels so much better to be able to say, this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm okay with it. I feel free. Here's what it says in Galatians 5:1. For Christ has truly set us free. This is a freedom we really have to wrap our minds around. He has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Don't go back. Stay free. And don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. We have a tendency to get right back into doing something for somebody for some sort of an expectation. We do something for our kids. We do something for our parents. We do something for our friends. Do something for our teacher, whatever it is. And we expect something in return. And we've got to get out of that mindset because that's not God at all. That's not how God operates. That's not his economy. He wants us living free. We were not designed to live carrying around guilt, carrying around anxiety, carrying around fear. We were designed to be free, to experience peace, to experience joy. That's what God wants for us. And that's what Christ freed us to experience. So we wouldn't have to wear this yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:3, he goes on later. He says, For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. And this is really interesting. He's talking about kind of our natural desire to be right, natural desire to control. No. That's not what it's for. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. There is such a difference when you care about somebody and you feel like, you know what, the Spirit's leading me to do something for you. And you do it with no strings attached. It feels good, and you don't feel like you have to own the outcome of whatever happens as a result of that. So we have the opportunity to experience freedom in our lives. We don't have to go back to the yoke of slavery and trying to organize and control and figure out other people's lives. We can simply love people with a pure heart and begin to see them change as a result of it. It's one of the most powerful verses in the New Testament, I think, personally. It's my favorite chapter is Romans 8. And I think that one of the most powerful sections of Scripture is right here in Romans 8, 1 to 4. It says this: "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." Keep it up there for a second here. I'm going to say it again. "Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." We already read about Jesus freeing us. We're going to read in a minute how he did that, but he freed us. If you are walking around feeling like, I blew it, I don't have value, I messed up again, there is no condemnation. Don't condemn what God's not condemning. Don't beat yourself up. Don't let other people beat you up. Get rid of it as quickly as you can, because he doesn't want you living that way. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There's a Spirit inside of us that tells us we're free. And that's what we should be experiencing if we're truly in Christ Jesus. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Again, if we wanted peace on earth, we'd all be gone, right? We have this tendency. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. We just had communion. Jesus died for us. He was a human being, God in flesh, dying for us so we experience freedom. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our own sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. I was recently a juror. I told you a little bit about that story. I was a juror on a jury a few months ago. And I saw the defendant sitting there. It was pretty horrific what he did. Sadly, when you're in court, you're seeing people in their worst moment. Some of the stuff that came out in trial, I thought, man, that was kind of a cool thing to say. We got to see some of his text messages. There's some things I know about this man that were virtuous and good. But he was on trial for something he did wrong. And I think that's the thing sometimes we don't understand about God. We think that our approval in God's eyes is about us being good enough. And sometimes we look at the scale, all right, have I done enough good for all the stupid things I did, you know? Try and balance it out. That's not how it works in real life. It's not how it works in court. We didn't hear about all the great things this guy did. Oh, I didn't realize you did so many good things. Well, we're not going to convict you of a crime, right? No. He did something wrong. And because of that, there was a penalty. And what Paul's telling us here is that God understands that. We have great moments, all of us. We have such good moments where we're just doing the right thing, and we have moments where we're just not. And it doesn't make us right before God, because in those moments we were good another time. God wants us to be completely free, completely free. So he took our guilt and he put it on Jesus. Just like if somebody could have paid the penalty for that guy that was in that courtroom that day, he would have been grateful, I am sure. Somebody could go to prison on his behalf. Somebody could pay his penalty on his behalf. Well, that's what Jesus did for us. So all the problems that are going on in the world, all the things that we face, God has covered it. We don't need to worry anymore. We don't need to be perfect anymore. We can simply accept a good boundary would be stop trying to do what God has done for you. Stop trying to be good enough for God. You'll never make it. God already said, I've taken care of it. I accept you for who you are. I love you for who you are. And if you understand that, then when you go into other people's lives and you begin to interact with them and you begin to do things for them, you can do it with the same spirit, that life-giving spirit we just read about, that does it for no other reason, just because I want to demonstrate love to you. I don't want to control you. I don't want to reform you. I just want you to know you are loved. And if you have a problem, I care about it. I would love to see that problem go away. But more than that, I love you. And you're valuable and you're important. Boundaries are good for us. They enable us to understand what we should be doing for somebody else and really what we shouldn't, what we don't own. And then if we understand what God's done for us, it's so much easier then to genuinely give love to somebody else with no strings attached. And I know a lot of you have probably struggled feeling just so frustrated with other people and the mess they're making in your life. You don't have to carry that anymore. You can care for them. You can help them, and you can have good boundaries and love them the way God loves them, unconditionally. And maybe, just maybe, as you're praying for them and loving them, God may change their heart as well. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you didn't give up on any of us. And Lord, sometimes you brought people into our lives to demonstrate your love to us, to show who Jesus was to us. And that maybe tugged at our hearts and changed us. And we're so grateful for that. And Lord, there were other times in our lives where, man, we were just at the end of ourselves. We had nothing else to give. We had tried everything and nothing seemed to work. And when we came to the end of ourselves, you said, I'm here. You don't have to carry this burden alone. I sent Jesus to help carry this burden for you. And we could just turn it over to you, Lord, and just... it could be serious, the consequences of some of the things we may feel we have to do, but we can trust you without fear. We can trust you, God, that you actually care more about these people in our lives than we do, and you care more about us and our needs. And so, God, as we think about this morning, I just pray you would help us to really seek you. And if we're feeling condemned, to be able to just throw that condemnation off. And to accept your love and your forgiveness and your acceptance, and then to be vessels of that love and forgiveness and acceptance to others as you bring them into our path. Use us, God. Heal us, God. Help us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.